Yeah, Jay, I thought cheap politicking was beyond you, but noted.
Was expecting a very strong response. I was expecting that.
So the DA is just very thorough. I was afraid that if I had to leave before the meeting started, then Honourable Horne would have apologized for me. So we're both polite and thorough. Thank you. Something everybody else could have to look at.
Any other apologies, members? None. Can we start? Now, Ms. Botha, over to you. Oh, there was a hand from the committee secretariat. Do you want to say something, Mr. Mtunjeni?
No, Chair, no, Chair. My apologies. Thanks.
Okay. Can you fly to the slides, Ms. Botha?
Unfortunately, Chair, because of our connectivity problems, we are using alternative devices. It is difficult for us to share it. I have asked my other colleague whether she can't share it. But yeah, unfortunately, I didn't know we have to share it. But this morning, we were told to or requested to share it. So we tried, but we were not successful because of the fact, like I said, we're working with another device because our laptop connectivity is not, it's not right. So I'll try to go very slow so that the committee can fully understand and be with me whilst I'm going through the presentation. I'm really, oh, there it is. No, I need to be a share. Share.
But
Okay.
just for information, it's important that we must always bear in mind that sharing of slides is not only for the benefit of committee members. There are people who are watching these proceedings via YouTube and other means. So it's important that we should ensure that they do see what we are being presented with.
No, I apologize for that. I know where to share, but it seems that the transmission of the presentation from the one device to the other device is problematic. And so, but I really would like to ask your patience with us and allow us to proceed because these regulations are very important.
Somebody has already started sharing. Can you share
Chair.
this?
Chair, we can assist from our side. I can assist Ms. Inapoth. I'll share from our side. She can just indicate next slide as we go. I'll
Yes.
assist.
Thank you
Yes.
very, very much. Right. I suppose it's I suppose, Chair, that you all of you can see the slides now.
Yes, we can.
Okay, I think on the first page, as I already was in the process of telling you, is that just to refresh your memory about the Child Justice Act of 2008, which was established to really only take care of children who are in conflict with the law. And then the act was amended in 2019 and it was signed into law by the president on the 26th of May. Next slide, please. This is just as background check. Sorry, can you still hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Proceed.
Yeah. Yes, I can't see the. It seems that there's. Oh, there's the second one. Thank you very much. Sorry, I'm just looking for my glasses. Okay, then on the second slide, you will see that there we include what the amendments were that were affected in the last Amendment Act of the Child Justice Act. And you may recall that the most important, I think, aspect was the whole issue of criminal capacity, because that you have been you have been given a presentation on the report and why we are going to change it from 10 to 12. And so, oh, yeah, the president has decided that we're going to do that. We're doing that for different reasons. So what I can just say is, because of the fact that the Act now say the criminal capacity is no longer 10 years, but 12 years, we had to change everything in the regulations that refer to the 10 years, to the 12 years. And just for those who may wonder what this aspect is more about, this is to say that children at this point in time, because the Amendment Act is not in operation yet, that a child under the age of 10 years cannot be prosecuted. Now, if we put the Act into operation, which we only can do once Parliament has approved the regulations, it will mean that only children under the age of 12 years and not 10 years anymore will be prosecuted. And then secondly, then you want to know, but what about the children between 12 years and 14 years? You can prosecute them, but there is a presumption that they don't have criminal capacity, but the state can by means of evidence rebut that. Then, as I said to you, there are a few technical amendments that were done to bring it in line with certain definitions that is in the Act already. And then also is that what we did is that because of the problems to get people to do the criminal capacity assessments, we also there indicated or decided that what we're going to do is we're not going to require anymore that an assessment of the criminal capacity must be done at the preliminary inquiry, but only when a decision has been made that the child must go to the Child Justice Court and be prosecuted. So therefore, you will see in the regulations, there's a lot of places where we then change the reference to assessments in relation to a preliminary inquiry. The next important thing is that when the prosecutor must decide whether or not to prosecute a child, then previously in this existing Act, the prosecutors had also to make an assessment or give their views about the cognitive ability of children. Now, according to the research that was done and that was presented to the Parliament decided that no, they're going to take that out, that the cognitive ability obligations on prosecutors. So you will also see the regulations that an amendment has been done in that regard. Then also is that, as I said already, we will not be dealing with criminal capacity assessments in preliminary investigations, but only when the child is in the Child Justice Court. So, and in that sense is also that there's that divide diversion purposes or diversion options that I will speak to later. And then what is very important is that in terms of the existing Act is the magistrate can decide to dispense with a pre-sentence report when it imposes a sentence involving compulsory residence in a child and youth care center. So what we've done now is we say the court can, under certain circumstances, not dispense with a pre-sentence report. So next slide, please. Okay, we've just indicated there what is the power of the minister, where is his authority to make regulations, and who he must consult. That is what you can see there. And the next bullet, what is important is that then because of the changes brought to the Act, which is not in operation, as I said, we need to change the regulations as well. So I can go to the next slide. Okay, the first clause is the definition clause, but this clause only refers to the principal set of regulations that were published in March 2010 and also the amendment during December 2017. Clause two, there you will see we only replace in the expression 10 years for the expression 12 years. Remember, because we have now increased the criminal capacity age from 10 to 12. So that is why we replace it. And then also you will see in 2B of the regulations that there is a replacement of the expression appropriate adult that is in the present Act with the word appropriate person, which is also now in the Amendment Act. And the reason why this is, it's actually a technical amendment, because if you looked at the definition of appropriate adult, it includes a person over 16 years, and that person is in terms of the law now not regarded as an adult, so that's why we refer to as appropriate person. And just to give you more information, this is especially important because children are not supposed to be kept in prisons or in police cells, so that you must always try and release them. So you can release them now in terms of this amendment read with the Act, that they can be released into the care of an appropriate persons, which means where we have child-headed households. But this is nothing new. It's just that there was a mistake made and we are rectifying that mistake. If you go to the next slide. Because of the fact that we are amending the regulations, we also had to go to the forms and amend the forms, and we will get to that later. But also the forms are mainly aligned with the wording of the Amendment Act, and you will see it there, except for one exception, which I will explain to you. And so where you will see here an order of by a child justice court, this must for an evaluation of criminal capacity. If the court order that, then he must do so on a form that substantially corresponds with form two of the annexure. So, and remember, it's only a child justice court that can deal with criminal capacity. The next sub two, that is where we just want to draw your attention to, is the rest of the regulations stay the same. But what we only changed here at the request of some of our commentators and our stakeholders is that it's very important that you send the charge sheet to the person who's going to do the competency, criminal capacity assessment, because otherwise this person doesn't have any any kind of information other than this child is this age, this and so forth. So it will help the person who's doing the assessment. I just can say is that there were requests that we include the police docket, but afterwards we've discussed that. We all came to the same conclusion that that is not possible. So if we can go just to the next slide, please. Here you will see we are changing the one of the sections by adding a sub clause. And the sub clause that we are adding is that there's an obligation to the DGL that he or she must annually compile and keep a list of private psychiatrists and clinical counseling and educational psychologists who must then do the assessments, the criminal capacity assessments that we have spoken about. And that list must be provided to us so that we, for distribution to the registrars of the High Court and all the clerks of the Magistrates Court, so they know exactly who's available to do this kind of assessment. That is something that I think is very important, because in any event, the Department of Health is keeping a list of psychiatrists and psychologists who must assist with the investigations in terms of Section 77 and 78 of the Criminal Procedure Act, which deals with mental capacity. Next slide, please. Okay, and here we come to the forms, chairperson. First, Form 1 is amended to make it more user-friendly. We just changed the format a little bit. And then we provide now for the age of 12 years instead of 10 years, also to align it with the Amendment Act. Then Form 2 is amended to remove the reference to the inquiry magistrate in line with the amendments to Regulation 13. You remember we also said that that the inquiry magistrate don't have to do a criminal capacity assessment. That is the one thing. And the other thing is, insofar as the inquiries are concerned, you will see in the regulations that social workers are not anymore required to, to do to give their views on the criminal capacity of the child, because the child is the social worker that is not a competent person to do that. So that is Form 2, a very, very small amendment to align it with the Act. Then Form 2 is also amended in order to ensure that the charge sheet and the probation officer's report are submitted to the person who's to conduct the criminal capacity of the child in line with the amendment to regulation. I've already referred to the fact that in the preliminary, there's a preliminary inquiry, and the preliminary inquiry at that stage, the probation officer must give in a report. So here we are only in line with the Act, say, all these two documents must go to the person who must conduct the criminal capacity of the child. Next slide, please. You will see there, the next slide is about consultation. And Chair, I think if you look at it, you can see that we did extensive consultation with the role players. When we drafted the regulations, we drafted it and we gave it to them for comments. And then what we did is, because of the fact that also there is, in terms of the Act, a committee that is chaired by our DG, that we must ensure that we presented to them, but because they were not sitting and we are in a hurry to have these regulations in place so that the Act can be put into operation, we send it to each member of the of that committee, and everybody was happy with the regulations. But we also consulted as required by Section 97 of the Act. Our minister wrote letters to cabinet members responsible for these components, and we didn't get any objection against the regulations as amended. Next slide, please. There you can see the department, what the comments is that we have received. That, and I don't know whether you want to take it me through, let me take you through this, because of the fact that all of what is here, I've already indicated to you, except that maybe I could say is that the psychiatrist and psychologist allowances are also determined by our minister. So that is in essence what that slide refers to, but I have dealt with most of the things already. So we can go to the next slide, please. You will see there also it's about the comments received, continue, in agreement, no comments, in agreement. So next slide, please. Also, SAPS is in agreement, Legal Aid, Teddy Bear Clinic, and then Cape Wylands, Overberg region. Also there, we've got agreement. Next slide, please. And then the reason why we are before you this morning is because Section 97.2 of the Act provides that the regulations must be tabled in Parliament for approval. And this is the reason why we've asked you to give us a slot in your very busy program to do this presentation. And I think that is the last presentation, the second last one, because the last one is only the Amendment Act will come into operation on a date to be determined by the President in the Gazette. I've already spoken about that, that we can't advise the President to put it into operation until the draft regulations have been approved by Parliament. And that is what's actually on that slide. And then the next slide, if I'm not mistaken, that is the thank you slide. And I just want to say thank you very much for the opportunity to have this space in your busy program to present it. Thank you very much. I don't know, Chairperson, Dr. Charmaine Bardenhorst, she was involved with the drafting of the Act and all the amendments. I don't know whether there's something that she would like to add, but also is that maybe she can respond to some of the questions that she's got the background, which we were drafting the regulations didn't have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I would like to prioritize Honorable Swart before he leaves for the Chief Whip's Forum, if he's got anything to raise. I think he has already left.
Thank you, Chair. I am still here. I just want to commend the department on the regulations. I really appreciate them with the hard work that they've done to bring the regulations into line with the amendment. And I appreciate that's all I want to extend is my gratitude to the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart. Other members? Any other comments? Honorable Horn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm with the Honorable Swart. I think the presentation makes it quite clear that what the purpose of the proposed amendments to the regulations were, and I think it enables us as the committee representing Parliament to ultimately take a proposal to Parliament. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other member? Honorable Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. I just want a good morning, Chair, and the members, and also the presenters, the department with the team. No, Chair, I think I would want to echo the words of my colleagues. We appreciate the presentation, and we note it. But whenever they were presenting, something came into my mind to say, if I don't know if they are relevant, the question will be relevant to ask from them, or was this supposed to be asked from our DCS? It is just for your interest, Chair, the issue of, because they are now rectifying the mistake that we have done of 10 years. Do we have maybe, or do they have a knowledge of those currently who are of this age, who are maybe on the wrong side of the law that needs maybe some pardon? What are they going to do? Maybe are they going to pardon them or what? And all that debt, is it going to be that dent of them being on the wrong side of the law, is it going to be removed altogether? I'm not sure if maybe the question is relevant to them for them to answer. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Botha, and members of your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Unfortunately, we do not have any statistic in the section legislative development, but I don't know whether Dr. Charmaine Badenhorst can give you an answer to that or information. And then also is about the question is what's going to happen with them. With the ones that are are prosecuted, my take is that, remember, they can't be kept in police cells or in the prison unless there are very exceptional circumstances. So I think what's going to happen is all the cases will be withdrawn against the children that are prosecuted, and that all the prosecution will be stopped on the basis of this new law. And and then only children over 12 will then be further prosecuted. I don't know whether Charmaine has something to add. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Badenhorst.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. If I understand the question correctly, the honourable member was referring to children that are being prosecuted who are 10 and 11, and from my point of view, this is what the law currently states. So as soon as the new amendment will come into effect, those children will no longer be arrested and prosecuted. But those who were prosecuted before the amendment came into operation were prosecuted as the law were at at that time. So I'm not sure if I understood the question correctly, but that is what I can add at this stage.
Thank you very much, Dr. Badenhorst. Honorable Jailer, are you satisfied with the responses?
Yes, Chair. I think I'm satisfied. We'll just monitor and see that. Maybe we'll get information in terms of what is going to happen to those who are currently involved in, who are going to be rescued by this passing of this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Also, on behalf of the committee, let me take this opportunity to thank you very much for your hard work and for presenting these regulations. It's important that the bill itself must be implemented as soon as possible. So we really do appreciate your dedication in ensuring that these regulations are presented before us as soon as possible. Thank you very much. So what we will do as early as next week, a report will be presented before the House, before us for adoption, which will go to the House for approval. Is that in order, members?
Yes, Chair.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Langubach. Miss Botha?
Just to say thank you very much again, and you've made our day, because we really are worried about the children that should not be prosecuted. So thank you very, very much for assisting us and for from your side approving the regulations. Thank you.
You have also made our day, seeing public servants as passionate as you have shown. It also makes us to be very proud that our country is in safe hands. So continue with that passion. You and members of your team, we are also very happy that you have brought these regulations, and there was no need to change anything. So we'll just be taking them to the House. Thank you very much. Members, there is something that I forgot to update you on yesterday. There was a request that was made by Honorable Horn with respect to the issue of the regional commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal Correctional Services. I think we have all received either WhatsApp or SMSs or phone calls from Mr. Nele, the regional commissioner of KZN. So what we have done, we have written both to Mr. Nele as the committee and to the department to provide us with all the relevant documentation pertaining to this issue, because you have an issue that is within the department, in courts, before arbitration, or some of it has been arbitrated already. It's now coming to Parliament. So we'd like to get all the documentation from both sides so that during this period of recess, also the legal team of Parliament can look at those documents so that when we come back, we can be able to deliberate having both documents from both parties, and then we can see how we take the matter forward. Is that in order, members?
Chair,
thank you much.
Chair.
Honorable Chair of the subcommittee.
No. Thank you, Chair. I just want to support the issues and the process that you are directing. I think it's proper. We must deal with this issue in a comprehensive manner, given the gravity of it and the fact that we are an oversight body. So let's thank Honorable Horn for raising it, but I want to support for the process that you are putting on the table, so that it gives us enough time to go through this, and as well as the legal team to advise properly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janje. Members, before we adjourn, there's also one issue that is in terms of the program. We agreed that we need time before we adjourn, where we will deal with decisions of the committee, decisions that we took since the khotla that we had in Stellenbosch, and all other decisions that we have taken, and to so that we are able to plan properly for the next term and for the rest of the year and the rest of the term, the term starting 2019 to 2024. So it would be important that from time to time we do a review of the implementation of the decisions we have taken, to check whether we are still on course, and to check which ones have been implemented and which ones have not yet been implemented, so that we are able to monitor properly our work as the committee and improve where we are supposed to improve. But the challenge that we have, which might necessitate that maybe that meeting might be in the afternoon, or yes, because we have public hearings on the hate crime, hate speech bill, which is going to take 3 days. The reason for that, we have received quite a number of submissions. The last time I checked, I think the committee secretariat can correct me, it's about 55 people that want to make submissions to the committee. So we have scheduled that those hearings take place over 3 days, but we are proposing that immediately after the last presenter, when we close the public hearings on the hate crime, hate speech, because it will be the last day. After that, I think the first will be on a Friday, that Friday we work until late. Because after that, myself and Honorable Breitenbach, we will be starting again with the Judicial Services Commission's work from the 4th until the 8th. So it is always advisable that you start a new term with a plan, that we try and push that Friday, even if we end, we finish very late, but it's important that we should do this work, and the secretariat should be, and the research unit should try and develop a comprehensive document that would be presented before the committee. Are there any reflections on that? Is that in order, members?
In order, Chair.
Honorable Mola, your hand was up, or your voice?
No, I'm saying, Chair, it's in order. What you have proposed is assisting the work of the committee, starting from gauging the work that we have done already, what progress have we made, and until such time the parliament rises, we must have at least known what is it that we're going to prioritize as we come back. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mola. Is there any view, contrary view? None. Thank you very much, members. I think we have come to the end of our meeting. Thank you. Thank you very much. And those who are watching and those who are part of a virtual platform, thank you for gracing this meeting. Ms. Nonhlanhla from the Law Society of South Africa, we have not yet forgotten you. We are still going to organize a meeting between ourselves and the Law Society of South Africa and the General Council of the Bar. You are always on our minds. We're still coming back to you. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.